Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Every day Muslim, Saturday is 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, ELPA. Every day Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on a journey in Islam. Every day Muslim, Saturday is 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified on the spot.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته listeners at home. I am Abdul Hakim Qasim, and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, 27th July 2024, corresponding to 21st of Muharram, 1446 AH. It's 3 weeks already into the new Islamic year 1446. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our affairs and assist us to achieve our plans and aspirations in the year. On every Muslim show, we try as much as possible to address misconceptions about Islam, force a peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Today, inshallah, Bikuratullah will be discussing something very, very relevant in our society. And we know, naturally, people talk about the Sorosuke generation, and that's the generation of the youth. People talk about millennials, they talk about generation Gen Zs, and now we're also even talking about generation Alpha. So what generation do you belong to? Or what generation do your younger ones, your children, belong to? Well, we'll find that out, inshallah, today, as we'll be discussing teenagers' deen, the second part of it. The first part has been discussed, and we want to continue with that discussion. And our guest is very much here with us in the studio. She is Hajia Amina Yunus Ali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, in case you are listening to the program for the first time, the program is Everyday Muslim Show. And in case you are meeting Hajia Amina Yunus Ali, who exactly is she? She is a dedicated and certified professional with a multifaceted background in the fields of family therapy, performance consulting, and neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. Her extensive expertise enables her to employ therapeutic techniques to support clients in identifying and healing unresolved childhood traumas, navigating the complexities of grief, and overcoming psychological barriers that hinder the pursuit of a healthy lifestyle. She stands as a distinguished master practitioner and holds a prominent role on the management board of the Institute of Family Systems Engineering and Development. She is an active member of the esteemed network of family systems engineering professionals, where she contributes her knowledge to knowledge and experience in handling issues related to the family. Furthermore, she is a certified mediator, having received accreditation from the International Mediation Campus in Germany. Her specialization lies in the field of family mediation, where she excels in facilitating constructive resolutions within family dynamics. She has also been inducted as a fellow and member of the Faculty of Chartered Institute of Professional Mentoring and Coaching, Nigeria. Once again, Hajia Amina Yunus Ali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to
everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.
All right. Very much. So let's delve straight into the desk, because we are talking about teenagers and, their religion and, practice of, spirituality and worship. But then, considering the rapid changes in the world, particularly in the digital space, are there any emerging trends or new challenges that teenagers are facing since the last time you were here on the program?
I wouldn't say new. I would just say it's just more of the same. It's more of the same in terms of teenagers want to be known, teenagers want to be accepted and loved for who they are. And in that, sometimes they get overboard in that sense. But perhaps the most informative and that parents need to look out for, that is actually subtle but very, very dangerous, is this idea of vaping.
Oh.
Right? because again, this comes from the space of trying to stimulate themselves. They are easily bored, and in a lot of them, dermatologists these days are telling that they are bored, they don't know what to do, they don't feel like they are noticed and everything, and then parents are going to work every day. So for them, it's like...
no one is available to attend to them.
Exactly. So there's nothing to stimulate them. So vaping fills the void.
They want to be high.
Exactly. And then we're also having a high increase of suicidal thoughts and suicidality.
Among teenagers.
And it's not just something that you will assume that is happening in the Western States. In fact, lately, what you would hear is that teenagers are having suicidal thoughts. They know when to off. They know when they want to do this. They've agreed amongst themselves who's going to go first. And
wow.
This also comes from the overexposure to gaming addiction.
Absolutely.
You know, so these are things that parents need to look out for. And it doesn't explode the Muslim world, no matter how well...
how spiritual that
exactly, kind of how spiritual or how well read in the plan.
There are halfies. You know, a lot of people are actually enrolling their kids in, taffy schools now. Just want them to be, so that I can say, my child is halfies.
It doesn't exclude them from feeling depression or anxiety. It doesn't exclude them from feeling alone or left out. It doesn't exclude them from feeling bored and unintegrated in society.
Wow.
And these are the things that actually leads to those thoughts in the first days.
Now, looking at some of these things that you're talking about now, the fact that a lot of them actually feel lonely, they feel bored, they feel, alienated, especially within their health. So how can parents and guardians encourage an open and honest communication, with these teenage children about, some of these sensitive topics, especially the ones that even include religion and personal beliefs? Because we now have a situation where a lot of people feel like that. Some of their celebrities and the people they read about online, how do they not even believe in God? And you have a parent that, this is probably one of Papa Dini, one Mashua Chua Dini, one Elijah, Yala Salatu, whatsoever. Or even we have, my dad is the Amir of so organization, my mom is the female coordinator, Amira, or whatsoever. So, how do you, these parents actually engage in sort of these open discussions with their kids? That's why the fact that we have so many things that don't even want to probably encourage anything like spirituality or religion in the homes.
Okay, so I think the first thing is that parents want to get their own acts together. They need to resolve their own personal issues from the dysfunctionality that they experienced before they became parents in the first place, because that also tells into how well they're able to connect. You can only parent the way you're parented. Until you learn to parent differently and better.
Wow. So it's not a case of, this was how my parents brought me up and I'm also actually
in fact, sometimes before you get married, you have this idea that you're going to do differently. Uh-huh. But that there's some pains that you had in your childhood that you don't want your children to suffer. But subconsciously, if it isn't resolved, if those things are not resolved, it is very likely that you would meet out the same pain and same challenges on your own children because they are not resolved, because they are still doing the same things your parents did. And it is always going back to, you would only parent the way you are parented until you have learned and actively learned this thing around to do differently.
All right. Okay. So that's no need of trying to repeat exactly what our parents brought us up with, because I remember in the days of someone would even tell you that different kinds of slaps that both the skin like children, it's a different types of apara, that is a factory,
14,
that that it will actually reset you. But these days you say, probably that's some child abuse or trying to
you does not have teenagers who would return it if care is not taken.
Wow.
Because again, they are living in a global world, not necessarily enjoying our own restricted worldview of, this is how we are brought up, this is how it should be. They're constantly engaging in the global space, whether it be it in school, be it at home, through the social media and all the whatnot. So they're constantly engaging in those spaces and hearing different ideas that do not likely align with your own family values or your own perceived appreciation of who a child should be. So one of the things parents need to do is, resolve their own issues, learn their children's languages understand what it truly means to be a teenager. This is not a good diagnostic of, oh, maybe I was 18 before. You know, I know what you are going through. I know how you would feel the urges are. I know how you would feel on unattended or alienated. It is about really what in this present time are they exposed to and what are you preferring as positive alternatives that actually limits out to their own expectations in this space.
All right. Good. In our society today, we have a lot of parents that are actually very, very busy, and because of the nature of the economy, so the fathers, the mothers are always engaged, you know, trying to make ends. So a lot of times people, position where parents tend to like that. Say, I will be busy, so let me probably engage these schools. Let me probably pay. So the children go very early in the morning, they're in the school till afternoon, they will pay for after school and same, and you will probably try to, you know, get, you know, for private lesson teachers and things like that. So now, I actually want us to probably move a bit into the educational space now. So do schools or educational institutions, so they have a role to play in nurturing the moral and ethical values, apart from academic excellence, in these children?
So absolutely. You know, for me, I often define the educational space as the parenting partners, because it's no longer about parenting in a village. It's parenting on a global scale and recognizing what the value of a parent is. Like, a parent doesn't just look at the kids, a parent looks at the being, the person, and who they are molding. So those values that you would be proud of to find in your own child are the same things that you should promote in your school, whether you are the owner or you are the administrator or you are the teacher or you are just, you know, even the cleaner. It is still that same essence of what are the values you want to see in a wholesome individual, and how can this be motivated into the children that are present in the school constantly. So it is always coming back to helping the school administrators to recognize that they are parenting partners. They are partners on this journey. They need to show up like parents as well. And parents need to also, you know, allow these partners to have a say. Because it's one thing for, you know, schools to want to do this part, but parents are saying, no, you can't touch my child. Or, you know, they're constantly pushing that, you know, I want my child to be free. This is your baggage. You have to generate the job moment. So you think that the way your child has been corrected is the same way you were corrected like 20 or 30 years back. It's not necessarily the same, but you have to be willing to listen. You both have to get to that space where you can drop and plan and say, look, this is who we have. This is who we want this child to be. And how do we need to get there? And I agree. Because children, just like you mentioned, they're spending more time in schools than at home. Even when they're at home, instead that the mother is busy in the kitchen, the father is busy trying to rest and all that, and there's just not this.
There's no connection.
Yes, there's no connection there. So you have to allow space and you have to check in constantly. You have to also trust where you're taking your child. Don't take a child to a school where you don't understand the values or you don't even believe in the values of that school in the first place. Because again, this would conflict and confuse the child at the end of the day. And that is why you have so many children coming back home with their, you know, things that are like,
strange.
Where did you get this from?
The values of the parents.
Because, you know, this is a space where different people would come in the first place, but if the school has a unilateral expression of certain values and they align with your family values, and other families also have those values, you will begin to have a problem, and that's what makes the village, isn't it? So that's what we need to begin to do.
But where then do we draw the line? Because now, at a point, we also have a situation where parents are actually being blamed, but they're actually abdicating their responsibilities to this school on the pretext of, after all, I have big school fees, so I expect that you should help me to, you know. So that at the end of the day, some parents don't even put in that extra effort beyond what the schools are actually trying to instill. And even sometimes beyond that, you have a situation where the school is trying to instill values and the parents are saying, no, they are doing too much. Who sent it? I beg. I don't want to, you know, the fundamentalists, or they have been extreme in their views or something.
Again, so it still goes back to the drawing board of first having a meeting. Know who your child is. There are certain schools that are not good for certain personalities. If your child is a rambunctious, easily impressed child. There are certain schools whose norms are restrictive and overly defined that may actually break the child's spirit. And then you go to the school, you're the confident, outspoken, jovial student, only to come back, only for the child to come back home, shy, intimidated, easily intimidated, unable to express themselves. And you're wondering, this could happen to this child. But it's also that you forgot to first do your own homework, knowing your child, knowing the school that fits this child, and then leading along the lines, constantly engaging the teachers, constantly engaging the school directors. I get that, you know, over time, we've seen cases where schools are pushing back, parents are pushing, and of course, you know, when they say too early, but first, most of us, it's the glass, and the children are the glass in this instance. So it is, you know, we need to have more engagement in the parents-teachers community, where we are able to say, look, this is not a matter of who has more vote, or we are competing against each other. It is a partnership. If we can get that...
A partnership that works.
Yes, if we can get that sorted, I think a lot of the times, subhanAllah, we'll be able to actually begin to see that, you know, these are actually people also helping us to move the goals on in the middle. Academics is just like 40%. The rest, the most important thing that actually helps an individual succeed has to do with the values and the core of their character and how they're able to express this in every given situation.
I love the fact that even that, you know, you were able to actually quantify, you know, the amount that over, you know, what exactly the academic excellence aspect of the, you know, it still will constitute as far as, you know, the makeup of the child's concern. It's just about 40%. There are so many other things beyond the academics that, you know, parents need to probably look out for, and the schools themselves also need to instill in these, you know, children. Now, I would love you to also now, because we're dealing with teenagers now, and we're talking about the digital age where the quantum of information that we have out there, they are just innumerable, so numerous that sometimes you lose sight or you lose count of, you know, some of these information that people have at their disposal. So we're saying that how can teenagers critically navigate and filter the vast amount of information available on social media to ensure that these things or whatever information they're getting align with the positive influences and Islamic teachings?
Okay, so I think I'll start with number one, understand why you're creative. And this is the space where parents need to really, really help the children way before they become adolescents in understanding why they're created. When you treat a child like they are, you know, last one of says, yeah, I have the best of my kind and I have an affected religion for you. Yes. I am giving you
your Islam.
Islam. I have made clear what is forbidden, I have made clear what is accepted. And you treat a child like a vice general. Now, you don't even understand what the true word of the vice general. Vice generals are this, if you understand the true origin of that word, you recognize that the way we treat moms, the way we treat priests, the way we treat imams are exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tagged every single soul as in that sense. And when you treat a child like becoming the one that, you know, is meant to live a vicegerency, then they begin to recognize that they are not just any person. They are ones who are here to make the world a better place. They are solution providers. They are people who are created specially to provide unique solutions to unique problems that the world is going to face. And when you, it's like, imagine how you have the prince given to you to train for 18 years. And you know that, you know, of course, the prince is like
a future king.
Yes, a future king. How are you going to treat the king? How will you treat such a person? What are the things that you will do to?
Yeah.
Will you be
giving the best?
Exactly. Will you be giving them certain? Exactly.
You know, you dare not.
Right? So you dare not. And if you treat them that way, you want to understand their needs. You're first only asking, are you okay? Do you need something? How can I engage with you? What do you how can I
make this better? I'm here at your service.
Exactly. And if you can do that, now this is not to say there's no space for boundaries or firmness. There is. But the best way to connect a child is to connect with the child. And that's one thing that brings them together, right? So for the teenager, I'm saying to you, when you recognize that you're created here
to be a solution provider, not to mess up the world. I mean, yes, I agree. Because one of the things I get from the teens in my space is that, well, adults messed it up already, so why should we be the one to play it off? So I agree with you that the world is a lot messed, but think about the solutions that you're not going to get it in there. And why I'll ask for my current spirit of you.
So the world that awaits,
unique, profound solution that you have to offer. And if you can live with that, you begin to recognize your values. When you know your values, you'll know that not everybody fits. You know, would you fit in any space? So that you will belong in the spaces that last one teller has created for you. I.e., most importantly, your room, right? You begin to also trust that your parents are doing the best that they can, that everyone.
All right. So if you're listening, it's still Evergreen Muslim on WFM 91.7. All right. And we are discussing the teenager's dean, the second part, because say continuation of the discussion that was, you know, that we started, you know, sometimes past now. And we have Hajjah Amina Yunus Ali, you know, taking us through. So now looking at what you have said and the fact that that is a lot that needs to be done on the part of the parents, on the part of the school, and even on the part of the teenagers themselves. So I also want you to be a bit practical this time around, but talking about steps, you know, for teenagers to actually stay motivated and consistent in their practice, especially when they face conflicting priorities or when they feel overwhelmed. Because, you know, there are times that your parents want you to do some things and you also feel like, these are the things that I think I should actually, you know, give priority. Someone is talking about your academic, someone is saying, no, you also need to go to madrasa. Someone is saying, no, you also need to actually give out some skill, about digital skills, because this is the world that we live in. Like, so how then do they manage, you know, some of these priorities in a practical way such that the motivation, you know, does not actually depreciate in any way, and it will also be consistent in some of their practices without going, you know, haywire, you know, or going overboard, or probably even underperforming in some of the aspects?
I think for practical steps, what you need to start with, see Salah as a conversation with your Lord. Right? I think this is the adolescent years are when you begin to question, why am I having to pray 5 times daily? Why do I have to fast for 80 days? Why do I have to do this and that? And it's exactly, you know, I haven't changed that much. So why is Allah asking you to do all this? But when you begin to appreciate that the deen itself is not something outside of you, something as part of you, it's a lifestyle, and you see your Salah, the 5 daily prayers, as a means of conversation to say, you know, I'm about to talk to the one who projected me and speak to him about some of the pains that I have and all that. Then you actually begin to recognize that there's a unique relationship that you're having with the master of the universe in that space. Then you also begin to understand that, look, parents are not flawless. You may have grown up with, or they may have taught you to believe that they are the all and end all of your life. But they are not flawless. They will make mistakes. But it is also part of the deal to learn forgiveness. And in forgiving is to also recognize that when you forgive them, you also seek ways, better ways to correct. They would all, there's this fantastic quote that I like to share in my classes, and I say, rupture is inevitable. You would conflict, that's a natural thing. It's the way of the adolescent becoming. It's a way of the teenager trying to find their own voice. And these adults that are still thinking like they are still a 5-year-old. So when they do, when you do have a different opinion and you say it badly, seek ways to repair. Because repair is actually how you correct. Oh, mommy, I'm so sorry that I said, you know, those words to you. Well, this is what I'm trying to say. And now, again, because I always go back to the parents, this is where the parents also need to know that no matter how often that they say they are sorry, they mean it. They mean it. Because we can say, but you said you are sorry, and you're still repeating the same thing. It is just like, how long did it take this child to walk when they were learning to learn? They stumbled so many times before they got the gifts of, oh, wow, this is how walking is. But exactly would be a behavioral education and management. They would stumble, fail, beg you, they would tell you that they are sorry, and they will still repeat the same mistake, they will still fall.
until the line that, okay, yes, this is what I need to avoid, or this is where I need to get better. And in that space is where you actually begin to connect. You have to believe that Allah is very fair. And also be willing to seek forgiveness when you're in the Kanyara. Instead of assuming that we're under the curve, so whatever I say.
It's final.
It's final in that space. I think it's also important for the teenager to recognize that they are right. They're never alone. Because in the bid to constantly fit into the society, and it's a natural experience here. Because if you go back to the days of our forefathers, our ancestors, by the time a child is getting to the puberty area, you're beginning to see certain skills of who is a sports person, who is good at making crafts, who is a good dancer, who is a good storyteller, and things like that. And you're beginning to actually prepare me into those categories. And it's okay for them to want to, you know, explore all these different skills, even in this stage. But it is important for the teenager to know that where you fit in starts with what you value the most and who you value the most. If any space that you fit in makes you uncomfortable, makes you feel less than you are, makes you take a step that draws you further away from the Lord, then it's not a space that you fit in. It's like putting a square peg in a round hole. And you should listen to that conscience, because your conscience is louder. I bet you, your conscience is louder than even your parents was in this space. So allow yourself to listen to your conscience and withdraw to look for those spaces where you do have tranquility, and trust that Allah is always going to be with you. It may seem like, well, because friendship also matter to those teenagers, you know, in this space. So it may seem a lot lonely at times, but you would find, you know, again, go back to Salah, have that conversation with your Lord in the last one of your life with the people that you meet in your life.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll go on a short break. When we return, the program continues. But then know that you can be a part of this discourse by sending your, by calling in on the number 07000-917-917. You could also send a text or WhatsApp to the number 07030-375-6537. Also have a toll-free line, 0800-1235-917. We've got a short break. The program will be right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back. The program is Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. Today we are discussing teenagers being a continuation of a discussion that we started some weeks back. And we have in the studio discussing, the topic with us, Hajia Amina Yunus Ali, who is a specialist in the field of family therapy, performance consulting, and neuro-linguistic programming. So she has, answered a whole lot of our questions. I will be continuing with that. But then you can also be a part of this program by calling the number 07000-917-917, 07000-917-917, or our toll-free line 0800-1235-917. You can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 0703-175-6537. That is 0703-175-6537.
7. All right. So now, in this discussion about teenagers, so how can communities create more inclusive and supportive environment for teenagers from diverse backgrounds to feel accepted and valued in their religious and social spaces? Because we have a situation where there are some people there, they have, we call them the haves, and we have the have-nots, the poor, the rich, you know, the influential and the so-called masses, so to say. So how can the community be a melting pot, regardless of people's backgrounds, such that at the end of the day, people, these teenagers will be accepted and valid in their religious and social spaces?
Well, I think there used to be something at the youth centers. So no, like, no. No. Right. So, and these are where children have a book from Roman school. These are supposed to be places where they get to meet, but they also meet other adults, caring adults, who are willing to support them on their journey to self-discovery. So what we have now are just small images of people and organizations coming together to teach this. But again, sometimes this can seem restrictive because just have a small population of young adults in these places. But I think for communities is to recognize them, to actually actively create spaces where these are, young persons can express themselves. And I would dare say that even in our faith-based organizations, we need to take care of the young ones and take care of the adults. There's no other choice. The adolescent doesn't fit in with the children, doesn't fit in with the adults. So they are led to their own organization.
So we really need to actually come up with something that actually suits and is unique and peculiar.
And it has to be done by people who are trained to work.
Not just anybody.
Not just anybody. Also because you are an imam, you know, that you can talk to a teenager.
All right. Hello. We have a caller on the line. Hello, assalamu alaikum. All right. So I love the fact that you just mentioned that we actually need to have all youth centers, and we need to actually have youth leaders, so to say, who are not seen as, you know, adults like that, and they are not kids. all right. So unfortunately, you know, in the past, even in terms of our political space, we had youth leaders who are actually even grandfathers, and they still find themselves youth leaders. Unfortunately, currently we have a youth leader, even for the ruling party. And unfortunately, we have this person that's actually just globetrotting in private jets, you know, traveling around, just flaunting wealth in the face of adversity. Unfortunately, as we speak, this guy is currently in China, and all that he just does is just say, I'm attending this program and things like that. I'm like, for goodness sake, the youth he's leading, we have youth that actually don't have jobs, don't have a future, and you've claimed that you are not working for any organization that we can see this is the organization you work for, rather than just being a youth leader of a political party. And where all this money has come from, people are like, this guy said he's representing us. So I'm trying to imagine adolescents who are actually kind of like confused, and they're looking forward to seeing the activities or engagement with this kind of a person. And like, he doesn't even have our time. We don't even have a space where he can actually engage with us. And that's why I love the fact that he said, see, these teenagers, they are not kids, but at the same time, they are not adults. They belong to a particular space, and they want people to relate with them on the basis of who they are. All right. I don't know.
What you just said about the politics and the politician, one of the spaces we're going to say that. Who makes the politician? Where does the politician come from? The person is a reflection of the one before.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hala Mahmoud, you're welcome.
Well done, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, speaker.
Okay.
I appreciate your gesture for the other time. I've tried to call in to send my appreciation. Let me go straight to my contribution for today's topic. You know, there's the game, right?
Yes.
Okay. The Almighty Allah gives us our responsibility to true experience. Because that's just new. You know, we are in an evolving time, that everything is, you know, quite changing. And with prayer and close monitoring on our children, I believe the world will be a better place for us all. Because there are so many sins. You know, that the Quebec is bringing down to us here. The modernization and recognition is not also helping matters. So the, with the help of Almighty Allah, prayer is very key so that, you know, our children can be greater
conduct. All right. Yeah. All right, thank you very much. Madam Mahmoud is actually a regular caller on this program. All right, so very quickly now, now that we said communities are really not probably doing that, but there are so many organizations so that are also trying to do something. So, but I want you to probably, you know, say something about the fact that this is organization, what roles can they play, as well as peer groups in helping teenagers navigate the challenges of, you know, balancing their faith, education, and social work.
So, we have organizations that attached to a master, in a busy with a place, but we need to make the master out there. The poor experience of students in the everything that had to do with bringing up
a multi-purpose center.
Yes, it was that. I mean, we need to go back to that master plan, making the master people of the busy person, so that they actually begin to also have the space where they can on the burden their challenges when they have feeling like nobody can listen to them. And as students, it's not difficult to school to your cancer. Or if it's the best cancer, and so they need to have that. And then you also need to have spaces and programs that particularly speaks the language of young persons. So the language of young persons in this case includes adventure, exploration, and experimentation. Are there positive things that can actually speak this language? That's absolutely. When was the last time you took in your laptop? Just discovering your spaces and doing in the city. When was the last time you talked about camping and about? I'm not talking about all this disadvantage.
Exploration. Into the forest, the natural conservation and things like that.
Making them, solution providers in terms of talk about the problem they see in the community and make them active activists until that solution is
solved. Right. In fact, that will probably even lead me to this question that I have concerning the fact that how can actually the teenagers be encouraged to engage in cognitive safety and volunteer work? Because I'm talking about, I'm looking at it that, okay, if we have responsible organizations that are able to actually take them around for them to see things, they themselves, they can actually notice problems and they can start initiating solutions themselves. So how can we really make them active participating in the community problems? And
just look at teen friendship, like I mentioned. You speak the language of the teenager, give them a problem and allow them to find the solution. And allow them, because then again, it will be messy, but they'll get it. It's like training a child to put water in a glass. There will be a lot of mess, but eventually they'll get it. And that is what most adults are not patient with, because again, we come from a background of conditioning. My parents were not patient with us, so it has to be done exactly this way.
And when there are actually multiple ways by which you can achieve
something. And there are different personality traits that stick to different solutions that we should allow plus those things.
All right. So but in some of these efforts now, how will they actually impact on the religious and the social group? Because I'm trying to imagine someone's like, we are Muslim. So how does that relate to probably, you know, volunteer efforts, probably in terms of making the environment
good? They'll trust me, people like you who are like that. When adolescents see that you're interested in them, they're interested in you. And they're interested in what values you have to speak. And before you know it, they're like, I mean, what are others and role models on social media saying? Is influence and influence.
Absolutely.
And the more they see that they are like, they don't want to talk about the honest and studios and that. It is the first ways that they can get to these actions that they are looking for. But when you also find an alternative for someone who really gives attention to them, who really cares for them, I had one thing that felt more like, why can't I not speak to you? That's the difference between me and your mom. And that's why I'm a therapist, right? You know, so you in spaces that you know that you can't provide it, look for professionals to deal with those spaces.
So in that regard, so what resources or programs would you recommend for teenagers who are actually struggling with their faith or seeking to deepen the understanding of, you know, religious teachings. Because I'm trying to look at this and, you know all of this that you were saying. And we're like, we're talking about the deen and teenagers. And it's like, are the religious leaders or religious scholars are very much disconnected from this category of, you know, people within the society. So we're like, no, in madrasa, it's just alif, ba, ta, ta, you know, length is fiqh, you know, hadith, things like that. So but they are really not unable to actually connect with this guy. And that's like, see, if actually the way I want to live my life, they cannot give me what I actually want. So what kind of resources or you know, programs would you recommend? Either for them, and I probably even at the same time are religious leaders, so that we can actually feel that void.
I think we basically need to revolutionize our approach to teaching the journey to young persons. You know, don't teach them the Arabic alphabet, teach them actually the poison etiquette, teach them to people who are successful to shadow their work as young. So for me, I think one of the things that places that I've seen that have important is empathize is what put out because as a Muslim public and place institution, you also need to be keen to understand your protection from give these young people in terms of how to engage them and how to work them. Then we also have the Yakin Institute, which is global and more importantly, there's this fantastic place in Nina, Real License College, where they have summer programs that really speaks to all these fantastic attributes of adventure, experimentation, in the positive that I say.
Sure. On a final note, so as teenagers transition into adulthood, so how can they maintain a strong connection with their faith while pursuing diverse career paths or living in multicultural societies? We have many Nigerians traveling abroad now, and the cultures are just very much different. So, as these teenagers are actually, you know, moving into adulthood, so how can they maintain that strong connection with their faith?
Know yourself, know your mind, trust them, and they, well, the best intention, trust the feelings. And I last met a time I day, that's true. And there's also one program that you know, I feel to measure with you. Actually, my own paper couldn't let them address just fighting seven things and so. So, you know, those are there's a lot of summer programs these days, you know, but look for the one that speaks to them. And friends should look at the bonds and don't just force them to, they're not forcing them to go to school. And these students are about to choose where we want to go.
I love that because we are talking, we're rounding up now because you talk about summer and some schools, all they know is summer coaching. I was just like, for goodness sake, these guys have had a whole 9 months of learning and the only opportunity that they have to relax, they are also learning another lesson or more, the coaching or something. Please allow them explore. All right, so we'd like to appreciate Hajj Amina Yunus Ali for the insight that she has provided on today's program. We'd like to also appreciate all of you, our listeners, and including our callers and those probably who try to, you know, come in or, you know, call in, but were unsuccessful. Thank you very much for the effort and thank you for tuning in on the program today. We appreciate you. We're happy doing this because we know you are there. So we appreciate you a great deal. I'll pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the will to you to, you know, listen and organize more of these programs and also achieve a lot for our kids, for the teenagers, and for the adults out there. You can listen again to this episode or all the previous episodes of Everyday Muslim via Impact, you know, -ng.org, impact-ng.org, scroll down and click on the Impact Project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes on that. You can also follow Everyday Muslim on social media via Everyday Muslim on Facebook, Everyday Muslim on Facebook, and on Instagram, EverydayMuslim01, EverydayMuslim01 on Instagram. Inshallah, Everyday Muslim will make its way back to your airwaves next week, same time, same station, at WFM 91.7 at 11 a.m. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.